Steve and Jill here.
Hi.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Stephen Jack Putella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about what would you do if you could go back to 1998?
This is going to be good.
So I'm sitting here thinking, there's a professional piece to this and a personal piece. I'm going to ask some tough questions.
Okay. I didn't really think about the personal one. I only thought about the professional one. So
Me too.
I'll be on the totally on the fly here. So, cool.
The personal stuff's more interesting, though.
Okay.
Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free, and as you're listening, please drop your questions into the comments section below.
Jeremy asks, I'm having trouble figuring out what criteria to use in a county selection. In going through the modules a few times, a lot of what Stephen says is somewhat non-specific. I'm using countywise.com for my initial data. County density seems pretty straightforward. How many back tax properties is a good minimum? How many parcels is a good minimum? Anyone want to share some of the criteria you used when you got started? If anyone knows of member calls where this is discussed in more depth, pointers would be appreciated.
This is a really good question.
Yeah.
Very, very good question. And I know I've said this before. Whoever you are, welcome to the membership group. I can tell just by the questions that you're asking right in the beginning how successful you're going to be. This is a spot. It's one of the first bottlenecks. If you do experience bottlenecks, this is one of the first ones. Mm-hmm. I wish there was some type of checklist that you could go through and check. Yep, meets all the criteria. I'm sending mail there. And there's just not. So I devised a 3-point plan. This is for rural vacant land only now. This is not for 2.0 info lots at all. 2.0 info lots, there is pretty much a checklist. Because they're urban areas and you look for consistency. But for rural vacant land, you want to find property. There's three-point concept. Rural property where the population density, according to the census maps, is dark green. That's the most rural. Does that in and of itself mean you're going to do well if you send mail there? No. Number two, you want to make sure that there is some type, in general, this is not a hard and fast rule. In general, you want to make sure that there's some type of back tax scenario happening there, whether it's tax liens or back tax properties. So you want to find out, as a gauge, how many properties are in a back tax status situation. I'll tell you, like, for example, if you just looked at that in and of itself, it wouldn't work because Los Angeles County has the highest number of, and it doesn't work from a density map standpoint because it's very, very urban, obviously. So some type of tax presence. This is for just if you're starting out. And then the third test is a test of reason where you want to go out on the internet and see how many other properties are for sale. You want to do it on Land and Farm, Land Watch, Craigslist, all kinds of places. If you're shooting for $100, $200, $300 an acre, real low-end stuff, if you find a county that meets all three of those criteria, you're going to do great if you price it right. So that, in the beginning, you know, we talk about one deal at a time or getting a couple of deals done. That should get you where you need to go. And then pricing is a whole different concept, but you can use what's for sale on the internet already as a pretty good guide for what you're going to get.
Hey, kudos, too, by the way, for knowing and using countywise.com. And Stephen made that site and spent weeks putting that together to create that site as a free resource to everyone to help you find this information. Look at the density maps and look at back tax properties for the area that you're looking at. Lots of great and other good things there. Census tract, if you want to get into that information. So kudos that you're using all the tools and the resources that we provide.
That's
really
right.
What I wanted to say and thank.
Today's topic, if you could go back to 1998, what would you change? This is the meat of the show. What would you change, Jill?
Well, I was thinking back. Okay, so I had to do the math. That was 20 years ago. So what was I doing 20 years ago? Well, one of the things is I was watching ER faithfully.
The television show
ER? Yeah, do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
God, that was a long time ago.
Right? Yeah, ER was alive, and I was like, I want to say it was Thursday nights, and I swear I'd planned my life around it because I really liked the show ER. That was such a good show.
It launched George Clooney's career.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that funny? Look how far he went.
Yeah.
It's amazing. So that's where I was watching ER 20 years ago. I was also about 8 years in. I was 8 years in to a job that I had no idea that was going nowhere. You know, I really thought that there was room for growth.
Does any job really go anywhere ever? I've always wondered this.
I mean, even though I worked for a very big company, it's an airline, and there was things I could do. You always hit the ceiling. There's certain caps for, if you're in this position, there's a salary cap. You go to this position, now you're at another salary cap. You go over here, there. It just was like ridiculous.
And you always report to someone.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't care if you become the CEO in the airline. You know, Coca-Cola is famous for.
That's true.
I don't know who the CEO of Coca-Cola is now, but somebody started it in the mailroom and became the CEO of the company. So this is recent, too, like within the last few years, several years. But you still report to the board then.
Exactly.
So you're never really free until you run your own show.
Right. And the third point that I remember from 1998 that I watched and I kind of knew, and this is good, I probably should have paid more attention, is why I'm bringing this up. I was watching my parents about this time. They had transitioned from Southern California to Texas. And, they bought a much bigger house. And they could afford to buy a lot of little houses. So Dad had built up about 10 little houses that he was renting out. I'm like, that was brilliant.
Outstanding.
So what would I go back? I would have been all in with Dad. That's what I should have been doing. All in with Dad and watching him and helping him and doing it myself.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you really were answering the question there.
I was. It wasn't just talking. I'm not just a pretty face. Just kidding.
I can honestly say I wouldn't change anything professionally at all.
Oh.
20 years ago, I had a fantastic but short career in public accounting, which launched me into all kinds of, opened a lot of doors, and a stint in investment banking where I did really well financially, and all of it led to, but every single minute of it, I knew I was going to leave.
Right.
I was always planning to leave the job that I had. I was never like, you know, I never put stuff in the drawers. I was there for years, 2 years in accounting. And
don't order me business cards. I'm not going to be here that long.
Seriously. And, you know, and some of the best clients, I worked with those clients afterward. So I just always knew that wasn't for me and I needed to run my own shop.
That's good.
And I didn't want to do it because I wanted to work less or anything like that. I just knew that's financially, this is never going to take me where I wanted to go. Plus, I'm, you know, like most people in our group, I just think none of us are very good at taking orders. Or, you know, there's a lot of alpha males in our group. I'll tell you, it's pretty funny when everybody gets together. There's a lot of figurative chest beating. So professionally, I there's only maybe tiny little things that I would change. Like probably a couple jobs I stayed a little bit too long. There's only a few real estate deals I look back on, really actually recently, and say, damn, I should have bought that. Oh. But in general, I never look back and say I should have sold that for more. Boy, if I did that, I'd be climbing the walls.
Got it.
If I went back through our database and said, well, what would that be worth now? What would that be worth now? We would go nuts.
You know, the only thing, I didn't want to interrupt you. Are you
no,
done?
That's it.
Okay. The only thing I'm just, as I think about this, what advice would I give to somebody, like if it were me back then? The only thing I think I would have done is jump ship sooner. Sometimes we get, complacent's not really the word. I think I had false hope for what was possible, and it really is not possible. I do wish I would have done things a little bit faster, but since meeting you, things are plenty fast. That's a little bit of an inside joke, a little bit of a public joke.
I'm the one in this duo that is running 2 miles ahead of everyone and not tired at all.
Well,
and here's why. Here's why. I have these great ideas and, you know, I don't have to do any of the real work.
That's the point. I have to do the real work. I or at least put the team in place. You throw me the keys and run.
Start the next one.
Exactly. Hey, you got it? The lights are falling down over there, but here you go. No, just kidding.
So it's not because I haven't done the work myself before.
No, I'm just teasing you.
So in the end, it works out just fine. It's just not as smooth as it could go. But when is it ever? You know, when is it? If you talk to somebody and they say, "Oh yeah, everything's fantastic. Are you kidding? Everything's great in my life. These companies are running really well. They run themselves. I don't really have to do anything. And everybody that works for me is fantastic. They come to work with a smile on their face. They're on time and they do what they say they're supposed to do." That person is a liar. I don't care if they're billionaires.
That's hilarious.
In fact, if they're billionaires, it's going to be worse. Their reaction is going to be worse. Like, oh, yeah, I think some. At least half of what I own is probably failing right now. That's a person.
And
that's
I don't even know about it. They're all lying to me because they're yes people.
If I could go back 20 years, I would have scaled. What we talk about now in 2.0 is scaling your business.
Mm-hmm.
I would have scaled a lot faster. I would have taken on. If I could go back and do one thing, I would be take Jill on as a partner way earlier than we actually did, because. When the minute that happened, the thing went to the moon. First of all, I cut out half the amount of work that I had to do. And Jill, you know, so it was a win there for me. I could go and actually do the stuff that I'm good at, which is send mailers out and generate more undervalued property. It was a win for Jill because she got out of her corporate thing.
Mm-hmm.
And she got set free, too. She, let out of her cage so she could actually be the sales slash, let's call her politician, which is what she really is.
Thanks.
She just got let out of her cage with that, with no real oversight, which is what it needs for her person. Our personality types don't need oversight. We need freedom.
Yep.
There's a lot of people that are not like that. They need boundaries and they need times to show up and places to be. And I've never functioned that way. So that's what I would change. And I would have changed how the size of the transactions that we're doing and the taking on partners on every deal, financial partners, which is what we teach now. So, and that's the whole point. If you're part of our group, you know, you should be listening to the stuff that we screwed up, because hopefully I'm sure you're a lot younger than us, younger than me anyway.
Yep. We can save you.
And mm-hmm. We could just speed the whole thing up for you.
Mm-hmm. That's what I mean. I agree.
Well, you've done it again. You spent another 15 minutes or so listening to the Land Academy show. You know what we didn't talk about was our personal. So we're changing the personal. We'll talk about it
in
a minute.
That's okay.
Join us next time where we discuss what 2020 looks like for Stephen and Jill.
Well, that'll be good. And we answer your questions posted on our online community, landinvestors.com. It's free.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition.
Well, what personal stuff do you want to talk about?
I wouldn't really change anything. Personally.
What car are you driving?
20 years ago, it was 1998. I was driving a 1989 Volvo DL, the square kind.
Oh.
Blood red, like a, you know, ox blood color with a tan. It was a tan interior.
Oh.
I love that car.
That's cool.
I had a lot of those DLs throughout the years.
That's cool.
You know, I wrote it all down recently, speaking of cars.
Oh, that's funny.
I've owned 63 cars in my life. 63 vehicles.
That's a little scary.
It's a lot more than my age. In fact, that's probably not healthy.
That's okay.
What were you driving?
I was driving an old Taurus. A full Taurus. Four
like
Taurus.
Station wagon?
No, not the station wagon. Just the sedan.
What color was it?
It was green.
Was it your parents' car or something?
No, but it was just one of those. You know what it was? It was a practical car, and the price was right, and it ran well. And I didn't need anything flashy. I just need something that ran well and got me from point A to point B, and it was paid for.
Do you remember selling it?
I do remember selling it. Actually, it's kind of sad. I was a little sad because I got a brand new car. I'm not going to tell you what that one was because it involved a sliding door.
Oh, my gosh. So, you had a minivan?
I did.
All right.
So there was a brief period in my life. I actually coached soccer, kid soccer.
Oh, that's good.
I did too. So yeah. But anyway, that car, I was sad to see that car go because it ran great. It was a good car. Just so. Please be sure and hit the subscribe button to stay up to date on our podcast. Like us and comment on like you see in future shows.
Right when I had like 12 more questions.
Oh, I'm cutting it off now. Tomorrow's Thanksgiving, by the way. Oh, yay.
I know.
And if you're listening on iTunes, please rate us there. We are Steve and Jill.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.